Welcome to the 220th episode of the Cracked Die Podcast.
Woohoo!
Hooray!
Here we are.
220, blaze it!
So I've got a great idea. I think we should, from now on, we should only release episodes when the number of the episode corresponds to an actual date. So like today should be released on February 20th.
We would take forever.
All right. If you had a delay of 8 months, it's because Rob had a great idea.
A delay of 8 months and then like one every day for a while.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, and then do we have to wait like a whole other... Well, no, because once we get to 229 and, well, 230 would just never come out.
Well, we'd still record it until we got to 301.
And then everybody just jumps in like 10 episodes later because...
These 70 episodes... missing.
70 episodes later.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
This is a bad idea.
It's filed under maybe.
I was told there are no bad ideas. I'm just saying.
You're right. There are no bad ideas. There's terrible ideas, though.
Okay, but like following in the old theater adage, there's no bad ideas, only bad actors?
Right. It's like there's no stupid questions, just stupid people who ask a question.
I can definitely tell you there are bad actors. Speaking of people who ask questions, it looks like we got some extra questions in a little late, but as I was saying earlier to the cast, better late than pregnant. So, Haya, let's go over those questions.
Absolutely. All the questions, as by me all, I mean five. Also, apologies, I'm a little bit brain broken today. All the questions are from lovely Finer Path and Stars, and they have also, in the Where Are You From category, given us all sorts of delightfulness, so I will absolutely be reading that as well. Anyway, so Finder's first question, and he is from the internet.
Tis a scary place. I don't know if I want to be from the internet.
Nah. Anyway, his first question is, how does book four stack up compared to the first three in Shadows of Suckdown?
Shadows of Suckdown? Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Okay.
Shadows at Sundown. There we go.
Got it.
That's more for you guys. I enjoyed both of them. I enjoyed taking a little detour on the books and, you know, making the show kind of our own thing, our own version of Age of Ashes. But how do you guys feel about the book we just finished versus Shadows at Sundown?
Bold of you to assume that my brain can tell any of them apart.
I didn't like book two.
Okay, yes, we all know the Moenge Expanse and the hex map was a time.
And let's be clear. Like, I like a hex crawl, or I can like a hex crawl, but that just felt like a slog. I liked Shadows at Sundown, but it was nice to slip into this game because of the characters we have, who have ties to Corvosa. But I will say that with some of these adventures, there are certain assumptions I think that the writers make, that PCs are going to make certain connections or are going to approach things in a certain way. And when you have people that don't think the same way, it can be frustrating. And I feel like that's how I felt with Shadows at Sundown at some points, where it felt like the writers knew where I was supposed to go and I wasn't as sure as to what I was supposed to be doing.
I'll defend the writers a little bit on that. That could be completely my fault at points as well, but I understand what you're saying. As we've gone through this, I've started looking back at some of the previous books in the core Age of Ashes game that we're playing, and I feel the same way, that there's a lot of things assumed you guys would get. I don't know. I feel like this is a struggle that I have in any AP that I've played or run, and that is, they give me all of this great lore, and then there's no way to organically get that lore out to you as players. I think, I'm hoping by the end of this book and the beginning of book six, a lot of things will slowly like come into focus and make more sense. I also think it's kind of the detriment to the way that we are playing Pathfinder, in fact that we release something every week, but as we talked about in the Q&A session, we go 3 weeks without playing and things slip all of our minds and we can't remember I mean, we've been playing this for 5 years. Do you guys remember what happened in episode 3 of this game?
Probably Soraya almost got killed by a trap.
Probably. That might have been episode 4.
Yes. Probably. Okay. But other than that, like, do you remember Kalmot? Do you remember that there was a fire, that type of stuff?
I feel like I remember more of, like, book 1. And then book 2, we just know as just, like, the hex crawl. And then 3, I'm like, where were we for 3? What part of the world were we exploring?
Wasn't 3 the one with the pirate ship?
We kinda, yeah.
There was a ship involved at some point.
That's where we got Ooh, and then we went to, blah, blah, blah. Nope, it's gone. Go ahead, Matt. Help me.
How do you spell that?
Lady Delacour, School for Wayward Girls, was in book 3.
Right, but where in the world is that?
Is Carmen San Diego?
I give up. I can't hear you to begin with. And I'm piecing together based on context clues.
Kintargo.
Thank you. Good Lord.
Kintargo. There we go.
Jeez.
Kintargo, Montego Bay, why don't we go?
Anyways, I'm gonna go now.
Surprise, this is the end of the Cracked Up Podcast. No, totally joking.
So yeah, I think it's, like I said, I'm hoping that things become clearer as we proceed through this book and the next one.
I feel like book 5 tends to be when a lot of the threads start to come together. We just finished book 5 of A Different Adventure Path, and it's kind of getting to like, oh, okay. Like, there's a lot of like, you've been going on these little adventures, and like, this is how they all play together. Like, obviously, we have the connection of they're all in Elsa's ring, and obviously, like, the Scarlet Triad has been a through line, but now we're kind of starting to see the shape of their plan, because up till now, they're like, okay, they're a slaver group, and sure, they worship this dragon god, and like, to what end, and like, what's their ultimate goal aside from bring him back?
Yeah, I don't get that logic either. Like, so I'm hoping book 5 will start, like you said, like start tying those threads together, because it seems like an Underwear Gnomes type thing, where it's like, step 1, slavery. Step 2, step 3, Dahak. Like, that's how I feel about this adventure path so far. And I'm curious to see how it all comes together.
I never thought that we'd get an underpants gnome thing there, but like, sure, that makes total sense. It's like step 1, this, step this, step 2, this, step 3, step 4, profit.
Yeah.
I really do think that this book is going to, at some point, I'm hoping you're all going to have that moment of things. So that's my goal, is to get you all at some point to go, wait, this and this. Oh, that kind of makes sense.
It's just the meme of like the woman looking confused, like the math all around her.
Yep.
Yes.
I think that's where we are right now, but yes, eventually. Yeah,
but like, yeah. Eventually we get that like, and it all makes sense moment.
Yes.
Galaxy brain. Yeah.
Yeah, the galaxy brain. I always said it as a writer, like sometimes, because spoiler for people who don't write or have never tried to do it, you don't know what's going on half the time, but every once in a while you get these like flashes of insight and you can see the whole web and then it's gone and you don't remember it. So like, we're gonna have one of those moments, hopefully.
On my Facebook wall, one of my friends who's a writer posted something, was like, I love when my readers are like, oh, you have such an intricate web, to which I responded, yes, in my brain I had no idea that those were connected, and I connected those.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, literally, you discover the plot as you're writing half the time, and it's a humbling experience.
All right, so that was one question.
Question number dose.
Finder is now from the Boneyard.
Phrasma.
Yeah. Phrasma, not Phrasma. And the question is, what was your favorite encounter in book 4?
When I got to take a dragon and melt cheese over the PCs.
Oh, that's right, when you got to Raclette.
Yeah, when I got to make Raclette out of the PCs.
We met the Dwarven Council, like the Guild Council in book 4, right? Because I just enjoyed going through all of that, and probably very specifically just interacting with Ooh about that whole thing. That was very fun.
Yeah, my favorite part was when Nightsword tried to answer every question of the council about soup. As far as combat encounter, it's either going to be the final encounter, which seemed like it would never end and might actually kill somebody, or the encounter outside of that final place. I think it's Necrotti is what it's called. The three-headed, like the chimera centipede, that thing?
Yes, the Necrotti, yeah.
Oh, the one that he solved by giving it a mate and making a dance?
Yes, Yeah, doing the sexy dance, the sexy mating dance. That was also a good encounter. I like encounters where I feel like we're going to die and then we don't die. Like, I feel like those are memorable. All the ones that we just roll over somebody, they feel good in the moment, but they're not going to typically stick in my brain.
Yeah, I do find, I think, especially at this level, like, combats are either like two rounds or like 15, and there's no middle ground.
Yeah, I can see that. Third question. Finder is now from the moon, probably. And the question is, players, do you have any predictions for what is coming in book 5?
Dragon nonsense and slavery.
Lots of sand.
It's rough and coarse and gets everywhere.
Yes.
Yes, we will get lots of sand.
Sean sending me that list of names that he wants me to sound out for him.
Yes. There's a lot of names in this next book, like more than the last ones.
This is actually a two-part question. So that was for us. And then for Sean, can you vaguely hint at something you're excited about in book 5?
Yes. I won't even vaguely hint about this one. I'm excited to see the encounter that is completely not in the book because it involves characters from backstories that we've created. I'm excited to see that encounter. I'm excited about the endless amount of roleplay that's coming up. That's my vague response. And I'm excited to see, hopefully, as I said before, the threads on their conspiracy boards coming together and finally something making sense.
So, Sean, where are we in this book again? Is it Catapesh? Am I remembering that correctly? Or are we someplace else?
Well, technically, right now you're in Duskgate Waystation, but you're heading to Finderplan, which is in the same region as Catapesh.
So I assume there's going to be like, I don't know, a Sphinx or a pyramid or something. Because all sandy places are Egypt.
Not if they're Mexico.
I guess that's my guess. I don't know. Yeah. Other than slavery and dragon nonsense, as Christine said.
I know this is Finder's. I think he said this is his favorite book in the AP. And I can definitely see why. I just hope we live up to, you know, his expectations of this. As well as I hope you guys enjoy it. Because if RP is not your thing, this can be a bit of a slog. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, shit.
Well, Sean, you're in trouble, then.
I know. This book is either going to go really fast because we're going to not do the RP portion and just do the die roll portion of it, or this book will be a year and a half because every encounter that is a role-playing encounter will be an episode. And I'm hoping it's somewhere in between, but I definitely think this is going to be an interesting slash fun book, I'm hoping.
Oh, I'm also interested to see what camel-like but not quite camel creatures there are. Because in like every bit of like sci-fi or fantasy, when you have like a desert place or whenever we had any place, they have animals which are like the earth animals that you would find in that area, but not quite. So there'll be some animal that fills that camel role, I'm sure, in the book.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, Matt. I hate to disappoint you, but in the Adventurer's Toolbox section of this, Catapesh Companions, the first one listed, camel.
Oh.
It's just straight up a camel.
We're just going straight up camel this time.
Straight up camel. Your companion is a camel or llama.
Watch out, they spit.
I was just going to start singing Cusco.
All right, next question.
Next question. Finder is now from Death Valley, weighing in at 323 pounds. And the question is, character shuffle.
That's a joke for me.
Yes, 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 yes. So the question is, character shuffle. All the PCs remain the same, but with a different player controlling them. Who do you want to play?
Knife sword. I claim knife sword.
I claim Swinchalin. I was going to say, I'm going to have fun with that.
In that case, I want to play Soraya because I want the challenge of alchemy.
Make thing go boom.
Yeah, make thing go boom.
I want to be Sean.
Well, fine. I want to take Brianna, annoy the crap out of everyone by not being able to be hit and blocking out the damage.
Wait, guys, shit. That means we left Rob to be the DM.
Rob would be a good DM.
I think so.
Oh, absolutely.
Rob, have you DM'd before?
Yeah.
Okay. What system?
Soul system?
What?
Not in what system. What system of role-playing game?
Oh, I think it was a Pathfinder 1. version 1, or it was D&D 3.5. It's been a while.
Ah.
Oh, but then there was that time we did Stargate SG-1.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last question. And Finder is now from the country, and he likes it that way. So this question was kind of asked last time by Ryan from Toronto. So the question was, y'all are getting somewhat close to the end. Have you thought of what's after AOA? Another AP, a different game, shutting down the whole thing? No need to say what AP or what game or whatever. Just curious if you had some thought about it yet.
We were toying with starting another AP, yeah?
I think we were saying Gatewalkers, but spoilers, there may be something with Gatewalkers in the near future for patrons. So
I'm not sold on any AP. I think the biggest answer to the whole thing was, by the time we finish this book, there'll be at least 300 more APs to pick.
Yes.
By the time we finish this book, we'll be in Pathfinder 3 and...
Yeah. The answer is, I believe we're going to continue the podcast in a new AP in our version of Galarian, meaning the things that happen in this AP will have persistence.
Repercussions.
Yeah, and any character that survives, you know, is clearly going to be a, to steal the line, a big damn hero and be renowned across Galarian. What AP we play, don't know. Where it's set, I don't know. There are a lot of books coming out between now and when we finish this. We may have whole continents we can explore, Tian Zha, things like that. So once we get into book 6 and we actually get to like chapter 2 or even chapter 3 of book 6, that's when the production discussions will happen, honestly, and when X, Y, and Z will happen. So nothing is set in stone. I do believe we will continue the podcast. And yeah, that's my answer to that.
So that was the end of the questions for now. Please submit your questions for us to read at the end of book 5. Please don't delay. And I will do a better job of notifying folks on Discord and the socials when we are going to be recording that. So just to remind you guys to please go ahead and submit questions.
I've got a question I'd like to submit now for book 5. Which character would you want to be in real life, and why is it Knife Sword?
Because gravity well.
Yeah, clearly he's god of the goblins.
Next, you're driving and someone's like in your way and they won't get out of the way. You're just like, gravity well. And you just like, yank that car into the other lane so you can pass.
In other news, the 13th 8-car pileup this week.
Always happens about the same time of day, Monday through Friday.
Watch that rush hour traffic, folks. There's something going on.
A goblin. There's a goblin on the road.
Also, if you are listening to this the first week of July, then you're a patron. And if you're listening to this in the second week of July, then you could be listening to it in the first week of July if you were a patron. So join our Patreon at patreon.com/ check the actual address in the show notes.
Listen to us a week early.
Yeah, you can get your podcast a week early.
Yeah, and many other fun things coming, we promise. Okay, so last time we were here, you guys found the exit to the way station, fought a sand monster, a Zaramun, Zaramun, defeated it, and then your curiosity got the best of you, and you all went down to check the last room. You found a beautiful painting that wound up to be a tarp, I mean trap, and it has drained Knife Sword, done some damage, not much, but you know, not great. And yes, we are at the top of round 2. You had done some damage to some of the painting. As I'm looking here, you've managed to destroy 4 out of the 6 patches of this painting. So yeah, let's go. So Christine, posting it into the chat here, I need you to make a will save.
Okay. That was a 10 on the die for a 32.
That is a failure. Would you like to use your 1 hero point that you have?
Sure. Do I really only have one? Okay, yeah. Reroll and keep the higher result. 33.
Ugh.
Still a failure.
So
you are paralyzed. And then, because you are now paralysisist.
Paralysized.
Can you please make a fortitude save?
Oh boy. 40.
That is a success. You are fatigued.
Woohoo!
Fort save. I'm a juggernaut.
Oh, that is a critical success. You are not fatigued.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so critically succeeded, so you're fine. No effect there. You're just paralyzed till the end of your turn. It is now your turn. Good turn. You can't act except to recall knowledge.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I already have.
Yes, you determined that you needed to be a master of occultism or a master of religion to disable this.
Otherwise, we've just been destroying it because that'll do the same thing.
Yep, beating it up. Yep.
Cool. I will froth, and that's about all I can do.
All right, you're no longer paralyzed, though. That's good. Matt.
Yes.
It is your turn.
All right. I believe when last we left our heroes, I was throwing my eclipse at the painting and trying to damage it.
Correct.
So let's keep doing that. That's a 45 to hit.
Nice.
That is a critical success.
Okay. Can we crit on the painting?
You can crit on it.
Okay.
You cannot bleed, death effects, disease, healing, mental effects, necromancy, non-lethal, and poison, as well as doomed, drained, fatigued, paralyzed, sickened, unconscious.
Okie dokie. 60 damage.
Jeez.
Okay. So 60 minus the hardness is still enough to take out another patch of the painting.
Okay. I'll attack again.
All right.
38 to hit.
Will hit.
Fuck yes. Come on.
25 damage.
That's enough. You take out the last section of this painting that is of the life cycle of an elf, and suddenly you feel that whatever was gripping this room is now gone.
The room is clean.
Good job.
Can I move again?
Yes. Combat is over. Everyone can move. All of the conditions except for drained are gone. You have to get a full night's rest to remove drained.
Brianna's gonna pat her pockets. And she's like, I could have sworn I had something for this and I completely forgot. She'll pull out an anti-paralysis salve. Be like, aha, I did have one of these. Okay, good to know for next time.
Do we need to take a rest? How are we feeling after those encounters?
I'm good.
You're the one who doesn't have limited resources, my dear.
Yes.
I'm a little banged up, but not terrible, but I'm happy to make camp here if needed.
I don't know what's going to be on the other side of that door.
So I've got great news, guys. Sorry to break character for a second. I am a legendary medic, so I can remove drains.
Ho, ho, ho.
Who is that great news for? I want to know whose great news that is.
For us.
I'm thinking mechanically how this works is that Brianna just pulls like an espresso machine out of her backpack.
Yeah.
Does like a double shot.
No, it's just she just hands knife sword a bag of chocolate covered espresso beans. Yes.
Knife sword, brew that up for us in the bag. Go, go.
You know, the chocolate covered espresso beans are pills that she gives you as a doctor. She's like, take five of these and call me when you stop running.
I imagine like the episode of Futurama where Fry has like 1,000 cups of coffee. He just starts vibrating out of reality.
Jeez.
But which reality, Rob? Is it our reality or Knife Sword's reality? Because those are two completely different things.
You just said the same thing twice. I don't know.
So Knife Sword vibrates enough that he can see all of us sitting around the proverbial table and understands that he is just being controlled by an unfeeling master.
Oh, no.
How do you know that they're not the people controlling us and we're the characters in the game?
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, they can play houses and humans if they want, but it's far less interesting.
My intelligence is 4.
I roll to file my taxes.
My goodness. Do you want me to roll or do you want to hand wave?
I'll hand wave it because, you know, enough monkeys with enough typewriters.
Okay.
All right. We'll remove the drain condition from Knife Sword here. And then I'm assuming you're healing everyone else up to full.
Yep. I think in terms of healing, really just Knifesword and I took damage.
I try to avoid being in the way for that.
All right. Now, you did find a bed area that is kind of messed up, but if you wanted to, you could cobble together beds, but Knifesword also has his tent and yurt situation going on.
Knifesword has more than enough cozies.
Yeah. Do we feel like we have to sleep?
I think I'm actually quite fine for now.
Okay. Knifesword, how about you?
I'm already napping.
Okay, buddy, take a good nap. Brianna will, like, kneel down to let him hop up into the backpack and, like, gently close the flaps so he can not be disturbed.
You swear you hear, like, somebody talking in a British accent about some kind of bakery good?
Is he watching Absalon's or the best Absalon Bake Off? Jesus, that hurt my brain to try and piece together. I was like, no, I had Greatest British. Nope.
The Great Galarian Bake Off.
There you go. It's global.
What was the name of the town you guys are from?
Corvosa.
So I was like, yeah, is it Paul Raposa, the host?
Oh, no. Oh, Paul Corvosa. You know what? Can it be canon now, please?
Yep.
Those eyes, those piercing blue eyes.
When he looks at you, you take piercing damage.
When he speaks, you take psychic damage.
Yes.
No, no.
But when he shakes your hand, it heals all.
Oh, yeah. His handshake has the effect of a greater restoration, or like a major restoration.
I love it.
All right. Where are y'all headed?
The doorway is down to the south here, where the sand creature was.
Yeah. Where are you, babe? I don't see you. Or are you just invisible all the time?
He's constantly invisible. Like, I remove the undetected condition from him, and it comes back on.
So in our other game, we have someone who has like a dread headband thing, and like it specifically says like after a week or so your companions get used to it. I'm like, I feel like that's just what's happened with Twin Talon. We just kind of like we get used to hearing his voice from nowhere.
You think you guys would get like some kind of perception bonus from me being invisible all the time?
Yeah.
Just because like you constantly have to be on trying to figure out where I am.
Yeah, not step on your toes accidentally.
Literally.
I feel like this is the invisibility version of if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a dodgeball.
If you can find Twin Talon, you can find an enemy.
Yeah. It's great training.
Yeah, I'm training you on hard mode so that when other people are doing stuff, you're like, ah, oh, this isn't that bad.
All right. And so you all step through?
Yeah.
All right. So as you step through, Ayudara, you seem to be on a hill overlooking Breach Hill. And as you kind of look around the citadel, and it explodes.
What?
What?
As a volcano erupts under it, it obliterates the fortress and starts to shower the town with lava bombs. You see that Soldado and Sons is hit directly by one of these flaming magma lava bombs, and it starts to burst on fire, and the surrounding areas are on fire. Vusker's carts and wheels starts to burn. The entire city is in flames. You suddenly start to hear shrieks and screams of people you know and loved ones as they're trapped inside or locked behind doors. You notice that some of the tavern has collapsed and seriously injured the town folks. You see the head of council, Greta Gardenia, and Warble under some of these fallen buildings as rivers of lava begin to flow in the streets. All the while, bolts of red lightning course through the volcanic's cloud of ash, and the rolling mass takes the form of Dahak's visage.
I've had so many dreams like this.
You clearly cannot save the town, but you do have the opportunity to dash down and attempt to save a few friends and neighbors. What are you doing?
Sprinting to the town.
Genuinely, I think, like, as the eruption happened and just clocking that there's nothing to be done for the Citadel, Brianna will also be sprinting to see how many we can save in the town just without thinking.
Okay. What would you like to roll to try and save someone? And I'm going to go in order of my characters list here. So, Haya, what do you think Brianna would use to try and save?
Probably athletics.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me an athletics check.
Ugh, how's it 29?
Rob, what are you doing in this time? Like, how are you trying to save people, or what are you trying to do to save people?
Seeing as I'm in the backpack with earplugs in, probably trying to figure out why the heck she's dancing or whatever. Everything's shaking.
Yeah, he was down for a nap.
Yep. All right. Is there any skill that you would like to use, or lore or anything like that?
Question. Can I roll a perception? Because I'm not actually seeing any of this, but do I hear the noises or smells or anything like that?
I mean, you heard an explosion. Like, you heard the explosion of the Citadel.
But the last thing I saw, we were in, like, a tunnel somewhere, right?
Yep.
It just seems odd to me. Like, you know?
I mean, I feel like if you heard an explosion of a building, you would pop your head out and look and you would see...
Well, I would have heard a boom, yes.
Yes. And then you also probably heard the lava starting to hit things and the screams of people.
Okay, that's my question. Like, is this something that if you're not looking at it, do you notice is there? Kind of like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No, you definitely hear.
So that's why I wanted to roll perception. Is perception the correct thing here?
Yeah, it would be.
Basically trying to determine, like, kind of like I want to, like, detect magic to think if, like, you know, what the hell's going on? Is someone looked at some shenanigans, you know, before I can get myself out of the bag, you know? Do I really need to get up for this?
Sure. Give me a spell cast. So it's your plus 26, your spell casting modifier.
Just a d20 with a plus 26?
Yep.
Sure.
Christine, while we're waiting for that result, what are you doing?
I'm doing something similar because I do have the Haunting Visions background. And very specifically, your latest dream for the first time had enough details to identify its setting. In this last dream, you saw the town of Breach Hill burning. And that's impetus to join the Call of Heroes for the person who takes this background. So how similar is this to the dreams I have had? And, like, she's kind of doing the same thing, trying to figure out, like, is this my vision coming true? Or is this, like, another artifact of these nightmares I've been having?
It is very, very similar. You can roll Dahawk lore if you'd like, or something else if you can justify it to me.
Dahawk lore it will be. Ugh, and I don't have another hero point because that was only a 7.
You can have mine.
Okay. That was a natural 20 for a 44.
Yay!
All right. And Rob, what did you roll?
I got a 38.
Okay. And last but not least, Matt, what are you doing?
So Twin Talon is going to sprint down into town and try to just get people out of the way, get them out of town. Like, if it looks like this stuff's raining down on specifically Breach Hill, seeing what he can do to get them to safety. So I'd like to use acrobatics if possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Twin Talon, only 3 for a 30.
Jeez.
All right. Would you like to use your hero point or no?
I'm assuming that does not succeed.
That does not succeed.
Then yes, I would like to use my hero point. So I rerolled and got a 41.
All right. So you see the flashing lightning and the rolling mass of Dahawk's visage grumble, and gouts of fire escape from his mouth, and your entire vision gets covered in a black ash cloud. As you're in this ash cloud, it starts to coalesce and take on the appearance of Dahawk's face and into a semi-solid form. And it dives groundward, exploding into choking pyroclastic flows that blocks all sight. Through this storm of ash, periodically sense Dahawk circling around you as the storms wreak havoc in the surrounding area. While circling you, the manifestation goads you, taunting you, explaining how you will never succeed and survive this experience. He taunts you and lets you know that your efforts are futile. He invites you to accept your death fast and promises an imminent apocalypse. What do you all do?
What are the results of the rest of our rolls?
So, Brianna failed, Knife Sword passed, Soraya critically succeeded, and Twin Talon passed on the reroll.
And our visibility is shit.
You don't see anything now. It's just swirling blackness. This black smoke is completely obscuring your vision. You cannot see the town anymore.
With my Dahawk lore roll, can I figure out how to dispel this?
Give me another Dahawk lore roll.
Honestly, I think Brianna's just, like, clearly this is clever because there are worse fears combined, right? Her family is down there, and I think she's just not thinking clearly, so she grits her teeth, she raises her shield, and slowly keeps moving in the darkness as best she can towards where she hears the screams coming from, because she's gonna try her best and get as many people out. Whether, like, out of character, I understand this is likely a thing, a haunt, a contraption, a woo-woo, but Brianna's not thinking.
That's fair. What skill do you think you would use to move down there?
Girl, I don't know. Will? Athletics again?
Give me a will save.
A will save?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay, because I think she's trying to block out his taunts and is trying to just, like, keep repeating, like, a blessing from Serenre in her head just to keep, like, forging on. Like, oh, for fuck's sake, of course I fail and I don't have hero points with a 25. It's fine, I'll take it, I'll take it. Break my character, it's fine. Break my character's will.
Alright, so as you start to move towards the sounds of your family screaming, the taunts start to shake you and you physically cannot move anymore. You fall to your knees, just gripping at your head, hearing these screams. Rob or Matt, what would you guys like to do?
So I started sprinting down to the town and then I'm back up top again?
Yeah, you're back up next to Soraya and Brianna. You see her Brianna fall to her knees.
From town, was going to look around and he'll remember back to the first one of these we went through where we got that attack by Dahok thing happen, and it was really like a trap that he could disarm. So Twin Town's going to look around for something to disarm, essentially, because he knows where he was running and all of a sudden he's not there anymore. So he feels like this is not real.
All right. Give me a thievery check, please.
31.
All right. So as you look around, this is not like the last time this happened. This is not necessarily a trap. You're not really sure what it is because it's not a trap, but it does have kind of that dreamlike quality. Rob, what are you going to do?
So question, I hadn't quite made it out of the backpack yet. Did it go black in the backpack?
Yes, the smoke has come into the backpack as well.
Okay.
And you just hear these taunts from the dragon.
Okay, well, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to rummage around and feel for, like, a gemstone.
Okay.
And then upon that gemstone, I'm going to cast Everlate.
Okay.
Does it illuminate the area?
Yeah, so it gives you, like, 5 feet of brightness and then beyond that another 5 feet of dim light.
Okay, so I'm going to hold the thing and come out of the backpack. Do I see anything more than just, like, what do I see? I mean, I'm still behind Brianna. I'm, like, you know, on her back, so.
Yeah, as you look around, you see the shadow of a huge dragon flitting around you. And every now and then you just see this head kind of take shape and you hear it taunting you.
What taunts are they?
It's just flying around, right?
Yep. Telling you that you're all going to die, that all this work you're doing is pointless and futile, that the end is coming sooner than you think, and that he will have dominion over the entire world.
Okay. All right.
No big deal.
I'm going to cast Gravity Well.
Good old Gravity Well.
I'm going to cast it directly above us.
Okay. Go ahead and spend a casting of Gravity Well. So, as you cast Gravity Well, you see the storm of blackness collapse in on itself. And as it collapses in on itself, it becomes into a solid draconic form that towers over all of you.
So I know, Rob, you said we need to make reflex saves to not get thrown into the air, but Twin Talon doesn't want to do that. He actually wants to get thrown into the air.
I don't want to either, but I guess my question is, did the spell have an effect? Are we moving up? Because I was aiming for here.
Yeah, so it brought the dragon down.
Time to stab it.
So I need all of you to make an initiative roll, please.
Oh boy, can I use the Hakla?
Yes, you may.
35.
38. 33. Man, my dice stink today. I haven't rolled above a 10, I don't think.
Could I roll deception?
You could roll deception.
I could? Oh, okay.
All right. So, Haya, You go first.
Okay. As a first action, Brianna is going to look up. She heard Knife Sword cast Gravity Well, and I think that kind of bolsters her out of this, like, daze she's in, I hope. Yes?
Yes. You do not have to spend an action to stand. That was a flavor kneel.
Okay. In that case, Brianna's going to flavor stand and... Sorry, give me 2 seconds to look this up.
That's fine. While you're looking things up, I'm going to need everyone to make a will save and a reflex save.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Jesus. I've gotten like one thing above a 10.
So while you're calculating that, Brianna is going to take her action.
Yes, go ahead. Go. Sorry.
So she will stand. She will look up at this dragon, and she feels the warmth of Serenre kind of billow through her. So you see her eyes start to glow. You see the fiery wingtips kind of form a little bit on her back as she also leaps up to meet the dragon, and she will designate him to be smited, and she will swing. And she'll miss, apparently, with a 38.
Yep. This is not an easy encounter by any stretch of the imagination.
She will want to strike again because anger, but will think better of it and raise her shield.
Okay. So, the will save is for a ancient red dragon's frightful presence. So, if you succeeded, which no one succeeded on the will save. No, that's not true. Knife Sword succeeded on the will save.
That somehow tracks. If you'd just be like,
On a success, you're frightened 1. On a failure, you're frightened 2. On a critical failure, you're frightened 4. Twin Talon critically failed, as did Brianna. Soraya regular failed.
So, point of order. My dragon scale amulet that I got last time said that I get to roll twice and take the better result when subject to a dragon's frightful presence.
Oh, I forgot you had that. Go ahead and do that again.
Yeah, I didn't know this is what we were rolling for, else I would have said something.
No, I know.
38, which is a regular failure instead of a critical failure.
Yes, so that puts you at frightened 2.
I would also, point of order, like to say that I do have Aura of Courage.
Okay, so I get everyone a +1?
No, when she goes, everybody's fear goes down by 1.
Well, I don't like that, so I'm going to ignore it.
Well, we don't like anything that's happening, so...
Let me read the text. So, you stand strong in the face of danger and inspire allies to do the same. Whenever you become frightened, reduce a condition value by 1 to a minimum of 0. At the end of your turn, when you would reduce your frightened condition value by 1, you also reduce the value by 1 for all allies within 15 feet. So, I just went...
Nice. Yep. I'm knocking everyone's down by 1 right now. And I knocked yours down by 2.
Thank you.
I guess thematically, since, you know, roleplay, Brianna is trying her best not to go down on her knees. She still probably hears the screaming behind this dread dragon. Dahog. She's like, steady now. This is what we've been working towards. He cannot win this.
All right. Christine, it is your turn.
Does it benefit us to continue trying to roll those lore checks?
No. In this situation, I think the best thing for you to do would be to try and hurt it.
Okay. What do I know about Jahak with all of my lore that I know?
They're an ancient red dragon. Red dragons are generally weak to cold.
That's what I figured. So yeah, we're gonna try and hit him with some frost vials, I guess. So I usually have 8 or 9 of those ready by the beginning of the day. 40 to try and check something at this apparition.
That is a miss, but it will still take splash.
Cool, so that's 3 splash. I guess I'll try it again for a 41.
That will also miss, but you still splash.
Yep.
All right.
And I don't know, I don't really want to crit fail, so I'm gonna duck down this hallway near where Tasani is.
All right, so as you step away, it's going to snap its jaws at you.
Oh, yeah, I should have figured it. He's got, what, like 10 or 15 feet of reach?
Yes, that is a 50 to hit.
That's a critical hit.
I would like to, hello, my brain immediately wanted Liberate. To say reactive murder, but yes, Liberate.
Wait, can I do that? Can I reactive murder with 100 people?
All right. Oh, boy.
Jesus.
That is a 100. Well, hang on. Minus
10 for the fire off the top. So I have fire resistance. And then minus 17?
Yes. All right. So I'm just going to deal the damage, and I'm going to give you 17 back because it automatically takes the fire off of it.
Well, it's also 17 of each type, right? So I don't take any fire damage at that point.
Oh, that's right.
So they take 84 minus 17.
See? Not that bad. All right. Rob, it is Knife Sword's turn.
I'm going to cast Duplicate Foe.
Okay.
So I'm trying to make a second one.
A second Dahawk?
Yep.
That fights on your side and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. There's a fort save. That is a critical success.
Okay. And I failed to create the duplicate. I wonder if I should spend a hero point and do it again. I feel like that's maybe not a high roll.
It succeeded by over 20.
Nice.
No, the dragon succeeded on its save.
So are you on, Brianna?
Sorry, you guys have to understand that I can barely hear you guys. Like, my audio's been cutting in and out, so I'm using everything based on context clues and try my best.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I just saw Brianna was turning evil again.
I mean, oh no! Oh dear.
Again, not like she was the whole time or anything.
Yeah, she's letting the mask slip again.
So that was my turn. I don't have any more actions. So.
Okay, Matt, it is your turn.
Okay, so there I was, face to face with some kind of weird Daha clone. So Twin Talon is going to move south 5, 10, 15 feet. So he's flanking with Brianna.
All right.
And because he moved half of his speed, he does not provoke reactions even if Dahawk had them. So he's going to target the Dahawk and attack the Dahawk.
All right.
Rolled a 3 for a 32, which is a critical miss, apparently.
Rob, would you like to let Matt re-roll?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you think about that one?
Every point is precious.
So I rolled a 39, which is a 10 on the die for a miss, I think.
Yes.
Jeez.
Okay. I'll attack again.
Come on, you got this.
Critical miss, 27.
Jeez.
Roll another 2.
Sean, what do you do to our dice?
Nothing.
Yeah, I gotta reset the RNG.
This is by Kelly.
Oh, hi, Kelly.
Melee. Cut them down. You swing out with as much power as you can muster, and you miss. You're off balance and take 1/2 damage from your attack. You are also dizzy for 1 round. Follow the rules for being controlled.
Oh, jeez. What? Thank you, Kelly.
So you deal 1/2 damage to yourself.
Okay. I would have dealt 39 damage, so 1/2 of that is 19.
I liberate? Can I liberate you from yourself?
It's any sorts of damage.
I see it start to happen, and I just, like, throw out some magic to, like, block your attack as best I can.
All right, so you're going to take 2, Matt.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, it's Dahawk's turn, and it is going to use its breath weapon. Unfortunately, it can only get 2 of you. So I need Knife Sword and Brianna to make a reflex save, which I put into the chat. All right. Rob, you critically fail, and Haya, you succeed. So you're going to take 1/2 damage. So Knife Sword is going to take 71 points of damage.
I don't think I can...
Liberate 3 times?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no.
You're going to take 1/2. So remember how I had to roll 2 different saves?
Yes.
So the other one is just being near a red dragon. You're going to take no damage because you all have resistance higher than what I can do with it. So it doesn't matter. So as the fire washes over Brianna and Knife Sword, black smoke fills the vision of Twin Talon and Soraya, and you all feel yourselves thrown, and you land face first into a bunch of sand. And with that, we'll pick it up next week.
Thank you for listening to the Crack Dive Podcast. Please visit us at crackdivepodcast.com. Pathfinder 2nd Edition and Age of Ashes Adventure Path are property of Paizo. Background audio was provided by Sirenscape because epic games deserve epic music. Please visit them at sirenscape.com. Additional background music was provided by Epidemic Sound. Please visit them at Epidemic Sound. The Cracked Eye podcast theme was composed by Angelo Di Loreto. He is forever missed. This episode was edited by Nathan. Please visit them on Twitter at @editingmate. Finally, thank you to all our patrons for assisting us in breathing life into this production. We do not know where we'd be without them. Our esteemed patrons are Cassandra Connors, Doombeard, Finder of Path and Stars, Jacob Wilhelmi, Anwar Musa, Jason Leach, John Jack Rosason, Margaret Torello, Mike Minutillo, Shaka Jamal, Sean Moore, Thomas Beard, Chris Simmons, Corey Fellers, Knight, Big Dog Matt, Cameron Heenan. If you'd like to join our Patreon, please visit patreon.com/crackdiepodcast.